question we need to ask ourselves. What exactly do we mourn for on Tisha B'Av? Different times and different places in Jewish history could arrive at different answers to that question. And I don't, chalila, mean to denigrate the sincerity of anyone's mourning for Yerushalayim. In the Eastern Jewish European experience, speak of that in my own forebears, and from what I understand, the Sephardic experience was really ultimately not that much different. Every day was Tisha B'Av. Put it in the words of a Polish Jew, the Talmud Chacham, he's about 90 years old. I was driving with him in the car one day on Beckford Avenue, Flatbush. We got to talking, and he says, if he didn't live in the Polish shtetl together with me and experience how we quaked and quivered in fear when a 14-year-old Polish shaggy walked through the Jewish quarter, in effect, you don't understand it. My perspective on this world and on the Jewish situation. In that situation, for one to cry on Tisha B'Av, life, there was a lot to cry about in life. There was a great deal of anti-Semitism, persecution, discrimination. And I do, again, I'm really very careful. I do not intend to denigrate in the least bit the sincerity of the longing for Tzion, of the Jews, of two generations ago. But the circumstances caused them to yearn deeply for something better than the circumstances in which they lived. Baruch Hashem, we live in very benevolent times. If we consider the whole scope of Jewish history, a point of reference might be what's referred to as the Golden Age of Spain. If any of us were forced to live in the Golden Age of Spain, we would feel quite discriminated against and quite persecuted. The Ramban ran for his life. There was no freedom of expression. There was no freedom of religion. The Ramban ran for his life, and he fled Spain and lives out his years in Eretz Yisrael. For what reason? He was forced to participate in a debate with Donan, an apostate Talmud, with accusations being made against Jewry in Judaism. This took place before the King of Spain, and Ramban turns to the King of Spain at the beginning of the debate. And he asked the king for freedom of expression. He asked to debate, so he should be able to express himself freely. And the king is fair-minded, and the king gives him freedom of expression. And the Ramban wins the debate. He goes back to the shul in Barcelona. It's now Shavuos, shortly after the debate. And he gives a report to the Jewish community of what took place at the debate in front of the king. The bishops of the Catholic Church, Yimach Shimon, go to the king and say that he denigrated Christianity, and he had no right to do so, because the king's dispensation, the license for freedom of speech, was only at the debate itself and not at the synagogue in Barcelona. And the Ramban realizes he's in grave danger, and he decides to go to Ador, the leader of Spanish Jewry, flees Spain, and runs to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, where there's no minion of Jews in Yerushalayim, he has to seek out some Sephardic brothers in the city of Hebron and bring them to Yerushalayim so that there should be a minion in Yerushalayim. So we live in a time of unparalleled freedom for the Jewish people. We don't long for despite the fact of the growing anti-Semitism in the world, but we don't long for Avas Tzion because of a discomfiture of where we are. So But we need to ask ourselves on what basis, what exactly we should mourn for. Let me share with you. A number of years ago, I was in Meron, and I was saying Tillum in Meron. I happened to be very inspired in Meron. I was at Meron recently when I was in Eretz Yisrael. I went to David Mincha, at the Kever of Rosh Hashanah Ben Yochai. A number of years ago, I was there, and I was reciting Tillum, and I came to Mizmor Kuvvov in Tillum. And Mizmor Kuvvov is a recitation of Jewish history. V'yimala guras Hashem yashmiya kol v'hilosai. Avosenu v'mitzrayim lo eskinu nifl lo. We did not fully appreciate that which the Rebbeinu Shalom had done for us. V'yizokhu asroim chasadecha. V'yamro ayam v'yamsu. We rebelled against the Rebbeinu Shalom. V'yoshiyem naman shalom. For the sake of the Rebbeinu Shalom's name, the Rebbeinu Shalom spears us. V'yiyaz guroso to proclaim his great power. And he dries up the Yamsuf. And we traverse the Yamsuf as if it was as dry as a midbar. He saved us from the hands of our enemies. And we believed in the Rebbeinu Shel Yeshira with Tehilosa. We recited the Shira Sayon. But rather rapidly we forgot that which the Rebbeinu Shalom had done for us. So we didn't wait for the Rebbeinu Shalom to lead us. The incident, the uprising of Korach, but the Chasal Adas Aviram. But the fire burned the people that were part of that rebellion. Lahomet alayim b'shoran. Yasu egel b'chayre. He made an eagle. And it recounts all of Jewish history. How the Rebbeinu, how Moshe Rabbeinu saved us. And by Yitzom du leval po'er. Then we became involved, fascinated by the Avodah Zarah of the po'er. Vayochu zivchei meisim. On and on. Vayaktzipo meimoriva. All of these incidents. We came there to Yisrael, or we shmidu was a amim asher omar Hashem lohem in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. We were supposed to drive all the non-Jews out of Eretz Yisrael. We didn't do it. By Yisrael we were goyim. We mixed together. We assimilated with the non-Jewish nations. By Yom Udu Masayim, we became involved in Avodah Zarah. The entire scope of Sefer Shoftim. By Yavdu was at Sabayim. By Yulahem the Mekesh. And we got involved in Moilech, Vayizbuchu as B'nai Yemes B'nosein L'Shedin, Vayizbuchu Dom Nochi, of our own children. Vayichor Av Hashem Ba'amo, Vayisoy B'as Nachloso, the Rebbeinu Shalom grew angry at us. Vayit Nem Yad Goyim, and non-Jews invaded Eretz Yisrael and oppressed us. Vayim Shlu B'am Zaneim. Vayil Chotzum Vayivayim Vayikonu Tachas Yodun, and Fomim Rabba Yisiyatzilein. And often the Rebbeinu Shalom would come back as disciples and save Shoftim and save us. And again we would go back and rebel against the Rebbeinu Shalom. We were oppressed again. And the Rebbeinu Shalom heard our tefillah and he responded and he saved us again. An endless cycle of Jewish history. And it was not to end with the period of the Shoftim, the whole Sefer Melachim and the Bayis Rishon is exactly the same story again. All of a sudden the parak ends. Hosheinu Hashem Elokeinu v'kapteinu menagoyim v'tfilo. The Rebbeinu Shalom spear us from the non-Jewish persecutors. Lehodos l'shem kodshecha l'shtabeach v'silosecha. Baruch Hashem Elokeinu somen ha'olam v'yad ha'olam v'omar kolom alim halalut. And the Rebbeinu Shalom will serve the Rebbeinu Shalom eternally. I could not understand the resolution of this Mizmor and Tumah. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave us every opportunity to serve Him eternally. The fact that we did not do so was because within ourselves we erred, we strayed from the Rebbeinu Shalom. So why suddenly now, what's going to change? We have had numerous opportunities recounted in this Mizmor and Tillim. And long after this Mizmor and Tillim was the rest of the Bayis Rishon. And we had, again, endless opportunities. And what did we make of those endless opportunities? Yoshio came and tried to save us from the Avodah Zarah. We resisted. And finally, the bias is Nechrav. And Avodah Zarah is a root cause of the Churban Bias Rishon. So what are we asking for the Rabbeinu Shalom? What does that have to do with it? It has to do with us. We were not ready to do what we're supposed to do. We repeatedly returned to Avodah Zarah. So how are we asking the Rabbeinu Shalom that this Hatzalah, the Yeshua, should be eternal? Then I realized that the answer lies in the Bekosha itself. Hosheinu Hashem Elokeinu, Kapteinu Min Hagoyim, Lahoydeis B'Shem Chodsheecha, Lehishtabeach B'Silasech. The request is Lahoydeis B'Shem Chodsheecha, to praise the Rebbeinu Shalom and Lehishtabeach B'Silasech. We come, we live Al Admas HaKodesh, we come to Eretz Yisrael for many different reasons. Sincere reasons, or reasons of service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We intend to keep the Rabbeinu Shalom. But we have our own agendas as well. This world is not always a pleasant trip. A man, the Shuk Abu Karim, in Yerushalayim, told me once. He says, I lived in Poland. He says, I will never live here in Israel. He says, I know what it is to live in non-Jewish society, he says. I have no intention ever of putting myself in that situation again. Come to Eretz Yisrael. We live amongst Jews, freed from the day-to-day anti-Semitism that exists in society. The public square has Jewish symbols. The government is to protect the Jews and not to persecute us. These are major accomplishments in Jewish history. Every rational person would want, if he's Jewish, to put himself in that situation for those reasons. But if that's our motivation, therein lies the challenge. It comes the day in Jewish history where we feel torn. Service of the Rabbeinu Shalom leads us in one direction, and we perceive, misperceive, but nevertheless perceive, that our own success lies in a different direction. The latest Avodah Zarah, the Baal, the Ashtoreth, the Moilech, whatever it happens to be, that's going to be the salvation. That's our Yeshua. The Rabbeinu Shalom is our monument. The Avodah Zarah is what we perceive as our own interest. And throughout Jewish history, we failed this challenge. Again and again, we fell prey to our own desires, to our own agenda. And we strayed from the Rabbeinu Shalom. The end of the Mizmor and Tillim tells us wherein is the resolution. It's when our approach is with Kapteinu Min Hagoyim, will come there to solve for what reason? Not with a dual agenda, but with one agenda. Our sole agenda is to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. All the other things are important. Indeed, they are important. I relate to them very, very well. 40 years of coming and going from Eretz Yisrael, from the time I was Zeich at 16 and a half years old to live in Eretz Yisrael for the first time, for a year's time. It's part of my blood. I understand it very well. But we have to transcend all of those reasons and strive to come to Eretz Yisrael for what reason? To serve the Rabbeinu Shalom in general. When that is our purpose, we will no longer feel a dichotomy, that we are challenged, we're conflicted between how we view our own success and the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because we will be al-Admas HaKadosh for one reason, and one reason only, to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. All the reasons that become a legitimate, necessary, and we have to work and strive for all of them. But we have to seek, ultimately, the highest level of presence in Eretz Yisrael, for the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Avraham Avinu did not come to Eretz Yisrael because it was a Jewish society. He didn't come to Eretz Yisrael because he thought he would have respite from anti-Semitic neighbors. He came to Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shalom commanded him, but for one reason, why? As Rabbi Yehuda Halevi said in Eli Tzion, that he said this morning, and in Halo Tzion, Halo Sishalim, Now, where did the Rabbeinu Shalom come to the Nevi'im? Al Admas HaKadosh. Shas tells us a Chiddush. It tells us Yecheskel Hanovi was Al Har Kfor, on the Har Kfor, at the very beginning of Sefer Yecheskel. And Chazal tells us he was in Chutz La'aretz. So how did he receive Nevu'ah? Because it was a Novi Kfar, who was had already received Nevu'ah Al Admas HaKadosh. And therefore, his Nevu'ah could continue in Chutz La'aretz. But to become a Novi in Chutz La'aretz, in Gassel. Avraham Avinu comes there to Yisrael to experience Shechinah, experience the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in a way that's impossible elsewhere. As Rabbi Yehuda Alevi says, the air of Eretz Yisrael is Chayei HaNeshamos, is the life, the very lifeblood of the Neshama, Aver Arta. That's what we have to learn for. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, put it in this fashion. Said there were two Jews who lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Churban. One lived in the Galil. He had Nachla. You don't even know as Jews, we don't know what Nachla means. How many of us live in the house that our father lived in, let alone our grandfather, right? The princess in England, when they buried her, the one that was killed in the accident a few years ago, they took her back to a familial estate. 6 centuries it's in her family. Nachla means I stand on a piece of land. 1,000 years ago, my great-great-great-grandfather was on this land. And 1,000 years hence, my great-great-great-grandchildren will be here too. That's Nachla. Be Jews, we don't know what Nachla is. To possess something for more than 30 years is beyond our scope. I once met a man when I was in my early teens, when I lived in East New York. He said, you see that house? I sold it last week. I lived in that house for 60 years. He was a man about 70 years old at that time. He was born in that house. He lived his entire adult life in that house. It's a hell. I don't know if I know another such person. He came back to the Galil. He has Nachla. His estates. He farms the land. His produce. He's successful. He sells it. He's rooted in the land. This is not Polish land. This is not Russian land. It's Jewish land. It's his. Sameach, the Rabbeinu Shalom is restoring to his Nachla. There's a second Yid. That second Yid lived in Yerushalayim. He came every day to the Beis HaMikdash. He saw 10 Nisim Gluyim, 10 open miracles. The Mishnah tells us is always, on a daily basis. He appreciated the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom. In a sense that's way beyond our understanding. There was a Rosh Shiva Chevron Yeshiva. In his building, he lived a Chiloni Jew. And this Chiloni Jew had an infant and used to bother him the daylights out of him. When the Six-Day War ended, he came back. It was a Chayal. And he suddenly started speaking with great reverence to this Rosh Shiva. I heard this in Chevron Yeshiva 40 some odd years back when I was there, Pesach. More than 40 years ago. So finally, the Rosh Hashiva realized that this was not temporary, that this was a changed person. So he goes over to him and he asks him, Makarai, he says, what happened? Pitom ni'eta manin? He suddenly became a maimon? So he looks at him and he tells him, Kvod Rav, ani lo tzarich lahamin, ani ra'iti alokim b'sinai, he says. I don't have to be a maimon. I saw the Rabbeinu Shalom in Sinai. A Yid came to the Beis HaMikdash every day. He saw the Rabbeinu Shalom. Saw open Yad Hashem, a different level of Amunah. That Yid comes. He stands at the Kais of the Marovi. He reaches out to the presence of the Shechinah. But he says, what was here before? It was a Beis HaMikdash. His shechira was palpable, and he cries. The gula hasn't come yet. Depends what our starting perspective is. Nachlo, we can have nachlo. But the shechira is still acting. The Vilna Gaon tells us a very fascinating thing. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, Daf Nun Tes, it was an Amor Eliezer something, I don't, not the standard of Eliezer, and he was wearing black shoes. Black shoes, black laces, Tosis goes into it, black shoes. Black shoes were not in style. I guess white books were in style in Israel, the weather's hot there. But they were not wearing black shoes, it was not a Jewish thing to do. So the people of the Reish Galus's house observed him wearing black shoes. And I went over to him, they accosted him. What are these black shoes all about? What do you want with these black shoes? These black shoes, he says, I'm mourning for Yerushalayim. So they arrested him. They said, a chotzer, you think you're so pious that you can go around and proclaim greater piety than everyone else in the community? You're an arrogant person. They locked him up, put him in jail. So he saw things are not going so well. So he said, listen, he said, I'm worthy of wearing the black shoes. So he said, listen, either I'll ask you a question or you ask me a question. So they got into a halachic debate. And the Reish Galus's people had one perspective on it. And they had a different perspective. They didn't see eye to eye. So they said, no, so who's going to tell us who's right? Who says you're right? So they told him this Amira from the Daily Ador. We'll send the Shaila to him. So they send the Shaila to the Amira, the Godel Ador. And he tells him this, now Lezer is right. See, he knows what he's talking about. And really, you should let him out of jail. He's right to be misabel at Yerushalayim. He's not a chotzer. He's a pious, truly a pious Jew. He's deserving of this madrega. So the Goyim says, why did he change his shoes? We have many practices of Avelis. We tear kriya for Avelis. We put ashes on our head for Avelis. There are many practices of Avelis. What did he want with his shoes? So the Vilna Goyim says, what did he want with his shoes? Tells us this connected two things. It says, Mayofu Pamayev Basnodiv. How beautiful are your steps, the descendants of Avraham Avinu. Chazal tell us, what does this refer to? The Oilei Regolos, that three times a year we ascended from all over, we Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to participate in the Aliyah L'Regel. That's half the story that Vilna Gaon tells us. But there's another aspect to Regel, to the feet. And that is a Shemayim Kisi Ba'aretz Adoim Raglai. The nethermost projection of Shechina is defeat in our Moshul. Adoim Raglai, the Rabbeinu Shem's presence in this world. The Migdash is Adoim Raglai. There's a Pegisha, an interface between ourselves and Shechina at the Aliyah L'Regel. And that's what he was mourning. We're lacking. We don't meet the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Gemara tells us in Chagigah, Lirais, we observe the Rabbeinu Shalom. But it's also Lirais. The Rabbeinu Shalom observes us. How do we come before the Rabbeinu Shalom? Worthy, unworthy. We're going to walk into the Rabbeinu Shalom's Mikdash. Meluchlach, Bechet, Sully, by Avairus. How do we dare walk in such fashion? We have to come in. That we're proper Jews. We were ethical. Our business was honest. Our Shmir Shabbos was erlich. Our Beirot L'Chaveiro was appropriate and sensitive. Then we can appear before the Rabbeinu Shalom, Lirois, to see the Rabbeinu Shalom, but Lirois, the Rabbeinu Shalom is looking us over too. That's what the Amira was mourning. And that's why he wore dafka black shoes. But the Vilna Gaon we learned that the Chayla Gimel Yaradeya is a whole section on Hilchos Avelus. And one of the things that Ovel does not do, he doesn't wear shoes, regular shoes. At the end of Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, we have a halacha, we don't wear shoes as well. But the halacha of Tisha B'Av far transcends the halacha of Avelus in Chayla Gimel Yaradeya. In Yaradeya, it's we accept a certain discomfiture upon ourselves and that we walk without shoes as a sign of mourning. That's true on Tisha B'Av, but it's far more significant than that. It is connected directly to the mourning of the Mikdash. That we cannot ascend to Mayofu Pamayach Basgodim, those steps that a Jew took three times a year to come to the Aliyah Lerego and to experience the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Hadoyim Radloy of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, those are lacking. And therefore we take off our shoes. The deeper significance in the morning of Tisha B'Av and Chalitza Hanolim than there is in the Hilchos Avelus itself. What are we lacking? We're lacking the interface with Shinnah. This is the most profound aspect of the Avelus in the Mikdash. The Gula Goyim writes something else as well. So I got up right here at this time. And I told the rabbis I'm holding an auction. What's the hottest item that I can sell? Well, it's not a new car, it's not a new house, not even a new shas or a new shulchan aruch. One thing that I can sell, I can get any price for. If I told you, rabbis, it's not an indulgence. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam will accept one person and give that person full kapara to the highest bidder. And you go, you'll be Oyver Hashem, and you get full kapara for your avodas. Could I sell anything more than that? Money goes to the Reis Hamikdash, and you get whatever, and you'll do tshuva, and you'll get full kapara for your tshuva. Could I sell anything better than that? Tefila we say, the Rambam tells us, we say, Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecho, v'kovinu makinu l'avoy v'secho. The Gula Goyim tells us, that's the process of tshuva. We've sinned. We wish to escape the consequences of chet, so we do tshuva. The Bereshim accepts our tshuva, we escape the consequences of the chet. So what's the next brocha? Slachmanu avinu tichatonu mechalonu makenu kipashonu. We just had a brocha tshuva, the last brocha, Hashemenu avinu sarasecha. The Goyim explains, the Rambam writes in Shmei Neprotim, chet does spiritual damage to the neshama. The neshama is diseased, the neshama is ill. Chet, we escape the consequences of the chet. But is the neshama healed? The neshama is still diseased. Chayli ha-nefesh, as the Rambam writes in Shmei Neprotim. There we need slachlonu avinu tichatonu machalonu makinu kipashonu. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam heals the chayli ha-nefesh. That's the second step in the process of tshuva. The Goyim writes that the neshama and chutz la'aretz, in the absence of the mikdash, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not in the IT business, but as far as I understand, if you erase the hard drive, you still leave something, there's still a roshim there. They can go dig out at some level what was down there. It's not a clean slate. If you want a clean slate, you take the hard drive, you put it in a fire, and you burn it. Other than that, you don't get a clean slate in the hard drive. The Vilna Goyim tells us that tshuva and chutz la'aretz is a wonderful thing. We spared the einish, this kapar, but the kapar is not complete. There's a stain that's left. There's a scar that's left that doesn't heal. When does it heal? The Goyim says, if we're zoychet, if we go to the Beis HaMikdash, and we bring a korban chatas and osham in the Beis HaMikdash, then the chet is totally removed. There's nothing left. There's no scar. There's no blemish left. But if we're not zoychet to the Mikdash, there's something still there. We've maxed out. We've achieved as much as we can. And as much as we can is not total. There's still something left. There's a blemish left on the neshama, a roshim left. If we don't have the mikdash, the fullest measure of kapara is not available to us. In the Mishnayos, at the end of Saita, so it lists all the things that were lost as each Tana left the world, the Korban HaMikdash, the Yerida, the physical world declined. The Peiros are not as sweet and not as lush as they once were at the time of the Mikdash. The physical world of Eretz Yisrael is different. It's not the same. The world of spirituality is Halachos Kama V'Kama. Is not the same. Chazal have an expression. Ein moru shiur akatera hazus. Torah is what remains. The Migdash, we don't have it. The Torah remains. And yet, let me share something very surprising also for you. If you've ever studied the Sechta Ovis with the Perish of the Vilna Goyim, it's in the standard Yochanan Boaz Mishnayos, it's on the sides, Perish of the Gro. The Gro does not offer real commentary on the Mishnah. The Gro's commentary is solely for one thing. We might imagine that every statement that's in the Sechta Ovis were conceived by saintly people, Hillel, Shammai, Shmaya, Talion, Anshei Knesset HaGdolo, the most sainted people in Jewish history, Chachmei HaMeseiros. Their ideas are certainly worth studying. They certainly should have understood what spirituality is, what service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is, what commitment to Klal Yisrael is, what love of our fellow man is. We would imagine they understood those lessons. But the Vilna Gaon tells us that there is not a single word in Masechta Avos which has been conceived by the human mind. Every single statement in Masechta Avos stems from a pasuk. It is derived by Chachmei HaMeseiros from a pasuk in Tanakh. Not their personal conception, as great as that may be, derived from a pasuk. And the Gaon shows us every single statement in Masechta Avos, how it comes from a pasuk. Chazal saw it in a pasuk. That's the Gaon on all of Avos. At the very end of Avos, the Gaon adds a drop of commentary. And the Gaon says, at the end of Masechta Avos, and at the end of Masechta Tumid, we should find, he wrote some, Uvoneh Hashem Elokeinu Melokeinu V'seinu, Sheyibonah Beis HaMikdash M'heiru V'yameinu V'seinu Chokeinu B'sarasecha, etc. This should appear at the end of Masechta Avos, and at the end of Masechta Tumid. At the end of Masechta Tumid, we understand. For the same reason we say it at the end of Shemoneh Esrei each day. Tfilas, the Gemara says in the fourth parak in Brachas, is Mamachim Tfilas, Mamachim Karma, Mamachim the Karma. We can't bring a Tomit, Shal Shachar, the Tomit Shal Ben Arabayim, so we have Shachars in them. We don't have Hek, the Chalov, the Vavorim, the burning of the very pots which are burned and consumed by the Mizbeah, so we have Tfilas Mar. In which say we ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to accept that Tfilas as if it were a Karma. Is if we brought a carbon before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So when we finish the tefillah, we turn our eyes to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, today we only had the ersatz carbon. We want the real deal. So we have Sheyibonah Beis HaMikdash. And tomorrow we shall bring the carbon tumit. The Kohen should ascend the Duchen and the Mikdash and give us the Birchas Kohen. The Gaon says, we can ask ourselves the question, why in the midst of this Yerotzen do we have the same Chalkeinu B'Sarasecha? Why suddenly, it's a very nice tefillah, but why there? Does it have to do? The Gaon tells us it belongs at the end of Masechta Avos. Because Masechta Avos is telling us about the totality of Torah, Moshe Kibbul Torah Misinai, the scope of the entire Torah. And what are we reading in Eicha? Malko v'sareo v'agodim ein Torah. In the time of the Golas, it's not the same Shas. We have the Shas, we have the Mishnayos, we have the Gedolei Olam that mastered all the intricacies of Shas. But it is not Torah at that level which we can experience when the Middash is present. And to learn Torah, Ladmas HaKadosh, with the Shechina being palpable in the Middash, is a different Torah. And therefore the Gaon says, when we finish Masechta Avos of Moshe Kibbul Torah Misinai, we should have the Yirotz Shibona Beis HaMikdash B'Sein Chalkeinu B'Sarasecha. The Torah is not the same. It's a different Torah. That which we could have achieved in Torah when the Mikdash is closed to us, not accessible. And therefore B'Sein Chalkeinu B'Sarasecha, we need the Mikdash as well for the Torah. The Amuna is at a different level. We don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam the same way. As I mentioned this morning, Rabbi Lezer said in the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Beis, it's a mechitza shel barzel. It is difficult to perceive the Shechina. We struggle to perceive the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. Our experience in Torah is not the same. Our experience in Mechilas Avodos is not the same. So when we consider for what we should mourn, the Ruchnius treasures, the treasures that we lost in Klal Yisrael, that have disappeared in the Golos, Avodah is not the same Avodah. We don't have the Karbonos. Kapara is not the same. The Torah is not the same. The Tefillah is not the same. The Amun is not the same. Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha, in his writings on Tisha B'Av, tells us, quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Sier is Deirish Einlo, Bechlal Deboi Drisha. That we have to have a quest for Sier. He's motivated, Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai, to enact all of those mitzvahs, which are Zeichel and Migdash. 7 days we have Lulav and Esrei in Chutz La'aretz. According to most, almost all Rishonim, the counting of the Sefiras HaOmer is Manazeh D'Rabbanan. In the absence of the Korban HaOmer, except for Shitas HaRambam, the counting of the Sefiras HaOmer is D'Rabbanan. And what do we do? It's Zeichel and Migdash. And after we count the Omer each night, we say, HaRachmanu Yachzeh Lulav Avodos Beis HaMigdash Nikomu Merav Yoramenu Amen Yisalam. Ribbono Shel Olam, next year we should have the real deal. There should be a Korban HaOmer. And we should have the opportunity to do the mitzvah d'oraisa. What do we do at the end of the Seder? Bishana Abba v'Yerushalayim. Ribbono Shel Olam, we have a Seder. There's mitzvahs matzah there is. The Moros d'Rabbanan. The Korban Pesach is lacking. Next year we want to have the Maggid and the matzah, together with the mora and the korban pesach. You want to celebrate the seder. Yerushalayim HaKadosh. So we turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam at the end of the seder, Lishon HaAvod Yerushalayim, and perhaps that's the meaning, according to the Goyin as well, at the end of Yom Kippur. We have Kapporas Avodos. But the Kapparas Avodos of Yom Kippur is not the Kapparas Avodos that we had when we stood in the Beis HaMikdash. That was a different Kapparas Avodos. It's Lishon HaBo B'Yerushalayim. We should merit the fullest sense of Kapparah. It's Lishon HaBo B'Yerushalayim. The longing, the quest for the spirituality of Klal Yisrael. That is what has to motivate us in our mourning for the Migdash. Rav Aaron Kotler writes that when a person feels the Drishas Tzion, we mourn that which is lacking, that itself is Kriyat Shamayim. We respect the gifts that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us that are missing. And we long for them. And in that longing is the Schus, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should rebuild the Migdash for us in that moment. When we contemplate that which the Ribbono Shel Olam promises us, that should motivate us to reach out, to embrace the Ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. This is the quest that we have to have. Quest that we have to have is Tisha B'Av Enas. The realization that how much we're lacking, how much the Ribbono Shel Olam can give us. And that's what has to motivate us. It's the deeper meaning of the kinnus. We long, the circumstances in which we find ourselves reflect the absence of Shechina, reflect the absence of closeness to the Rabbeinu Shalom. As we ask the Rabbeinu Shalom, as we say, Chalkeinu B'Sarah Secha, to give us access to those gifts. May the Rabbeinu Shalom grant that a year hence that all of you can join me. I invite all of you to eat lunch with me next year on Tisha B'Av. The steak is going to be great, the wine tremendous, the simcha will be awesome. Rabbeinu Shalom has promised that it will be Mahabach, the Eivel is simcha, and the Ezer Hashem, the footsteps of Mashiach grow ever closer. The wonders of our age that we are close to here for Klal Yisrael living Alad Mas HaKadosh, something that hasn't happened since the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. We don't understand the Rabbeinu Shalom's timetable. My hope only is that the Rabbeinu Shalom adapt our timetable. The Rabbeinu Shalom has a very patient timetable. As he said, that in the Rabbeinu Shalom's eyes, Elif Shonim is Yom Echor. Better the Rabbeinu Shalom should adapt our timetable. For us, one day is 1,000 years long. And the Rabbeinu Shalom grants that the Ezes Hashem we celebrate in the Migdash a year from now.
I have a big table in the front. What should I
do? All right, we have the menu. After that.